3 John verse 2, and then Joshua chapter 1. Third John verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wished above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." And we're still talking about healing tonight. And I believe the more you get into it, the more you get. Somebody say, the more you get into it, the more you get. Amen. So let's look at Joshua chapter number 1, spiritual law of faith, principle in the Word of God. And let's look at verse number 3. "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." Now let's go up to verse number 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have a good success." Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you tonight for the word. And we ask you in the name of Jesus to give us circumcised ears to hear, circumcised eyes to see. Father, that you'll touch our heart tonight. And Lord, that you'll guide every word. Speak to me, through me, and for me. Lord, that our faith will be built and made strong, that, Lord, it will be Psalm 91 people. Father God, for no plague comes nigh our dwelling. Lord, we pray tonight, God, that you would cause faith to be increased, because you said faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We thank you for that. Now, in Jesus Christ's name we pray, and everybody said amen, amen. And so last week we were talking about 3 John verse number 2, when he says, "Beloved, I wished above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." And so the word prosper is important, because the first thing that we think about is in prosperity is money. Somebody say money. Money. Well, you can spend your money at the doctor real quick, or the hospital. Amen. Amen. But he's telling us something here that's very, very important. And so this is an inheritance law that he's given to us, a word from God. "Beloved, I wished above all things." This is my desire. I wish above all things. Above all things. Because number one, if you do not have health, you can't get much done. Amen. You think right now that this insidious attack that's come against, the people, especially where this plague or whatever you want to call it that exists, because in much of the design of it, we've seen a lot of churches shut down. And how many understand that is not God's will? Because number one, we've been called by Jesus and given authority by him to go out and heal the sick, cast out the devil. Think about Acts chapter 10, verse number 38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And so we see the work of oppression that goes on in the world right now. And by and large, you think about how many people are bound by fear, the fear factor that's going on. And because I was listening to some statistics that someone gave, and I can't remember it right off, but they were talking about that they believe that many of the people that have died from fear. And I believe that. Remember, we talked about what Jesus said. He said, "In the last days, men's hearts shall fail them for fear of the things that are coming upon the earth." I was sharing with someone last evening, I think it was Israel, and that, you know, about the dream that the Lord gave me about the forest and how that it came. And it came in waves. There were three waves of it. And so there were big, mighty oaks that were in the forest, because the scripture refers to us as oaks, as trees, you know, in the scripture. And so in this forest, it was just huge, massive oaks that had been there for years and years. And then there are also patches of the evergreens that were there, the pine trees and so forth. But when the wave came, and if you understand anything about land waves, earthquakes are nothing more than a wave. It's when the platelets give way. It's the same thing as a wave in the ocean. The land actually comes as a wave. The first wave was small. Then the second wave behind it was bigger, but the third wave was huge. I mean, it was like wham. And the thing about it is, like, in the first wave, this is what was amazing. In the first wave is actually where I saw the trees, some of those trees get uprooted and some of those trees fall. The second wave was a little different and not near as devastating as the first wave. The third wave, even though it was huge, and I believe that God was speaking to me, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about the church, is that the third wave was massive. These trees went almost all the way to the ground and then came back up. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, when I saw that, because I've been praying about it and been saying, Lord, give me understanding of this. And I believe more, He'll give me even more revelation as time comes. But in the networking of that, when I began to study it, it's like on the floor of the forest, is that it's like a nervous system. You know, if you go out and you move the leaves, you see all these little white things running. It's like veins or whatever. The trees communicate with each other, which is real interesting to me. And so I took that as the Lord saying that it's going to be important for believers to understand the power of their agreement and speaking the word of God boldly and together and standing, you know, from one end of the nation to the other. Because there are things that are coming that the enemy means to literally wipe out and take out the church. But I want to tell you something tonight, and just rest assured in the fact of this. The only way that the church is going to be taken out is when the trumpet blows. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And that moves me back in time to the first vision the Lord gave me about getting down hold of the roots. And reach down, take hold of those foundational truths that are in the Word of God. Because you think about how many people right now, and understand what I'm saying. I believe that God is compassionate and God cares about us and He loves us. And He's not willing that any soul should perish. He doesn't want us sick. He doesn't want us diseased or any of those things. Yet God wants us to be strong in faith. All right? Somebody say strong in faith. Because the Bible says what? Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith. And so if faith comes to me by hearing the word of God, and that's another thing the Lord began to deal with me about. He said, you know, my people need circumcised ears. And how to begin to unplug from all the negative things and forces that promote fear that are in the world. Because anything that's promoting fear is not of God. God is not a God of fear. God is a God of faith. Amen? Yeah, we should fear Him, not the world, or not the plagues, or not death, or not any other thing. And so, by and large, understand what I'm saying. What is the motivating factor of a person's fear? They are afraid that they will die. We're afraid that we will die. Well, in Christ, that's supposed to be taken care of. Is that, you know, I understand. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 2:14, destroyed him who has the power of death, that is to say the devil. I'm not going to die a second death. Believers do not die a second death. We should not fear death. Death is an open door. And we should understand that God doesn't want us to live in fear that some plague or sickness or something is going to take us out. And let's just think for a minute. If we really, really wanted to live a long time, we quit eating a lot of the stuff we eat. Amen. Because this really, one of the reasons that so many people have passed on because of this is because of pre-existing conditions, you know, in their life. And so It's the fear thing, the thing. And that fear comes from not being filled with faith. Somebody say faith. Faith. not being filled with faith. Let's go look at the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. I think it's where I want to go. Hebrews chapter number 4. Let's look at starting with verse number 1. Let us therefore fear, he's talking about fearing God's word, fearing God's promise, fearing what God said in the covenant. And understand what he's saying. He's addressing Israel here because when they went in the first time, remember into the promised land, remember the first spies that went and came back with an evil report, and it caused them to have to wander in the wilderness for how long? 40 years, and a trip that should have taken how many days? 11? And that's pretty different from 40 years, isn't it? Okay, so here God is right here, and the Holy Spirit is telling them, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. You cannot rest when you fear something. You cannot rest when you're afraid that somebody's going to pass something on to me. I'm going to breathe something in, or I'm going to touch where somebody else has touched. But may I tell you, that there are people that never went out of their house during this whole thing. People in Antarctica. I mean, and they still got this. Your only hope and your only victory comes through faith. Faith is the victory. Somebody say faith is the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, for greater is he. Somebody say, greater is he. Greater is he. Listen to what he says. Let us fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached didn't profit them because they what? Did not mix it with what? Faith. They didn't mix it with faith in them that heard it. And so it's like in ministry and in church, one of the things God dealt with me about tonight was that the religious spirit. I mean, knows what a religious spirit is. It's a pretentious thing that can shake and shudder and speak in tongues and jump and run the aisles and everything else, but they got about that much depth in God. So if you shout, I like it, you know, you ought to know what you're shouting about. Because if you know what you're shouting about, you can shout better. Amen? See, the Bible said shouting to God with the voice of triumph, shouting to God with the voice of praise. And the only reason he says that is because you know your God and you have a reason to shout. Amen? And praise God for what he's done for you because your victory is in him. And so the religious spirit, what it is, and understand, the religious spirit can rob you. The religious spirit can rob you of healing. Can rob you of inheritance. Because you can come and religiously sit and you can hear words that are spoken, but you really don't hear them in your spirit. Because it's one thing for me to religiously come and say, well, I went to church tonight, praise God, and I did all this stuff, you know, and because a lot of people serve God out of works, not out of faith. Well, I've done my religious thing, and, you know, Lord, you told me to do this, and yada, yada. But when hell breaks out and the enemy comes and you have to fight a battle, you know, the first thing that happens is you don't have anything to stand on, and you're just religious. You have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. And so standing, see, the Bible has a lot to say about standing. Standing is an action word. Somebody say amen. So you stand against something, you speak against something, and that's what we're getting ready to get into here tonight, is that number one, I want to understand, you know, tonight in my spirit, is I don't want to be a religious person, I want to be a faith person. A person full of faith. You know, you think about what God said, you know, in the book of Acts when he's talking about choosing out, you know, the leaders in the church, you know, look for people that are what? Full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, that they might look over these affairs. And so number one, God, you know, what he's really telling us is that we should all be full of the Holy Ghost, and we should all be full of faith, and we should all be full of the wisdom of God. Amen? We should be. Now, let me read this a little bit more here in the book of Hebrews, what he goes on to say. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Somebody say, the word preached did not profit them. See, tonight, if I'm preaching the word or if I'm teaching the word, we ought to profit from it. If I'm hearing it, somebody say, I'm hearing it. Not with this, but with this. I want to hear God's word in my spirit man. My spirit man is what needs to grow, not my body, not my soul. My soul needs to prosper, but my spirit man needs to grow. Because if my spirit man grows, my soul will change. Amen? The way I think will change. All right? Now, for we which have believed do enter into that rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. See, there is rest. Everybody say rest. There is rest in faith. There is rest in faith. I remember many years ago, and Deborah was with me, and we were down at my dad's house, and this probably, what, 1990s or something like that. And Dad, my little brother died being a diabetic at the age of 26. And so my dad came in, and, you know, my dad had sugar in his blood, and he was taking, you know, the insulin. And so he looked at me, and he said, you need to test your blood. You need to check your blood for diabetes. I said, I don't have diabetes. I said, I'm not going to get diabetes. I don't want diabetes. I'm not accepting diabetes. He said, well, you've been checking your blood. He said, I bet your blood is high. And he just kept on and kept on and kept on. And, you know, I'm like this. See, a religious spirit will cause you to look for something that's not there. Do you understand? And even though my dad was strong in faith in many, many areas, I knew what he was doing was wrong. It's like I was trying to provoke me to do something and make me do something that I did not want to do. And finally, the Holy Spirit said, go ahead, tell him to do it. I said, okay, do it. Came out perfect. Stuck Deborah's tooth. Perfect. Perfect. Amen. And so I said, I told you. I said, I told you. I said, I didn't want to do that. I said, don't ask me to do it again. I said, but you understand. I said, out of fear, out of being religious. There's a lot of people just religious. And understand, religion will cause you to seek self-pity. I want attention. Pity will cause you to believe that something's there that's not there. And believe me, if you're looking for something that's not there, Satan will give it to you. He'll cause it to show up. That's what we need to understand. What did Job say? The thing that I feared came up on me. See, fear attracts the enemy. It attracts the things that you don't want to attract. And so tonight, this is what we're getting at right here. God gave a promise to Israel, and he said, look, I'm telling you, the land belongs to you. It doesn't matter what's in it, because I have already given you whatever it's going to take to go in and possess it. It doesn't matter how big it is, the problem is, the giants that are in the land, the difficulties, the impossibilities, the Jordan Rivers or the Red Seas or anything else. And so we know that from the very beginning that when they left, God proved himself over and over and over again. And then all of a sudden they come up to this test where it should have taken them 11 days. They're already standing there. They send spies in and they flunk. And it cost them 40 years. Their children had to watch them die in the wilderness. Amen? And so God doesn't want us in the wilderness of fear. He doesn't want us in the wilderness of defeat. Now listen to what he says right here. So here's Joshua. Moses has died, that generations passed away. And this is the word that he's given to him. All right? Chapter number 1 of Joshua. Listen to what he says. Verse number 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. He's talking about inheritance. Everybody say inheritance. Inheritance. All right. Then verse number 5. There shall no man be able to stand before you. He's talking about adversaries. No adversary will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, because as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Verse 6, be strong, be of a good courage, for unto this people you shall divide. And because God basically turns around and gives the same promise to his people here in this scripture. Okay, let's drop down to verse number 7. Only be thou strong, very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. For what then thou shalt make thy way prosperous? All right, so what is the then? That you may observe to do according to what's written in the book. Amen. He said, when you do that, then you're going to prosper. Somebody say, then I'm going to prosper. Then I'm going to prosper. So he's telling them, he said, I want you to watch. I want you to observe. I want you to do. I want you to pay attention, because, you know, that you can prosper. Because when you prosper, that's when you'll become a success, a skillful person, one that's circumspect. And that word circumspect is important, because Paul uses it, and it means the knowledge that I've received from the teaching and the preaching of the word has caused me to have faith that I can conquer anything that comes against my life. Amen? And the whole foundation of this thing is what? I know. Everybody say, I know. I know that God is not a liar. He is not a man that he should lie. Numbers says, neither the son of man that he should repent. Because if he spoke it, he's going to do it. If he said it, it'll come to pass. Isaiah 55, he tells us what? The same thing. I think it's Isaiah 55 where he says, he talks about the word not changing, him not changing. For as the rains come down and the snows come down and waters the earth and causes it to bud and bring forth and give increase, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. God says, when I put my word out there and it comes into your spirit, it's going to profit you. Somebody says, it's going to profit me. It's going to cause faith to rise in my heart. That faith brings victory in my life against every sickness and against every disease or anything that the enemy brings against me. Praise God. Listen to me. You're going to be attacked. You're going to be attacked, number one, because you're a son or daughter. Amen. Somebody say, it's my privilege to be attacked. So attacks are going to come. And the reason God allows attacks to come, James tells us all about it. He said, beloved, count it all joy when you fall in to these attacks that come against your diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, works patience. That quality that will not surrender even though all hell is coming against you. Because you got to let that patience have its perfect work, that you can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. And so he's telling you, he said, look, those attacks are going to come, but you're designed to be an overcomer, not a failure, not a flop, not to give in to fear, not to give in to the adversary, but to stand strong in Jesus. Because it doesn't matter where we go in the Bible, if it's all the way back to Genesis and all the way through, the reason that we brought this scripture out here in the book of Joshua is because that's exactly what he's talking about in Hebrews chapter number 4. And he's telling us, he said, lest a promise being given you. And so he says, look, you have an inheritance in the Christ, the anointed one, with his anointing that has already conquered everything that hell's going to ever throw at you, and also paid the price for you to be healed. Amen. And I love this, because this is what he says. This is what he says. The book, this book, somebody say this book of the law, this book of the law, the first five books, the Torah, the first five books, all right? Because listen, every scripture that's drawn comes out of the old covenant. This is what kills me when people says, I'm not under the law. So what you're telling me is you're not under the word. I mean, seriously. Jesus talked about scriptures. He's talking about the old covenant. He's talking about that Torah, those first five books. And so I want, because right there, when we get into the book of Exodus especially, and he talks about that Paschal lamb, that Passover lamb, that is the greatest picture of us coming out of being delivered and being protected from plagues and the works of hell that there could possibly be. Because none of that stuff could get to God's people. Somebody say hallelujah to God. And so he's telling them, it's like God says, look, I have proven it to you. I have shown you. I have put it out there. You have lived it. You have seen me. And he said, look, don't be discouraged when you see everything happening like that. Well, I don't know what we're going to do. You know, I don't know what we're going to do, you know, because rationality tells me that it could get me. Well, in all reality, we're all going to die. Go to the cemetery. We got one right back here. I've been back here several times and kicked around, and there's rocks and things chiseled in them and in them that are several hundred years old. I mean, there's things there that don't even have anything on the headstones. They've been there for so long. And I've been to cemeteries and places where people have been buried and people chiseled it, and it's almost, the rock is almost worn away, and those graves are several hundred years old. I've got German Bibles in my office that are like 300 years old. I've got a Bible in here that's oh, gracious. I don't even really know how old that thing is. You know, just for one instance, it had a ribbon in it welcoming the boys back from the War of 1812. It's the real deal. And so what I'm telling you is this, everybody that had their hands on those Bibles are gone. Now, I don't know what the people that had the German Bibles, whether they were German Jews or whether, you know, what those people went through, if they died in concentration camps or whatever they may have gone through, but I do know this, those Bibles are worn and well read because you can tell the pages. A Bible that's been used, the ends of the pages around the outside, you know, began to roll up. Everybody knows that? Amen. See, my new Bible's getting broken good. And so, see, what I'm telling you is this. God doesn't want us to fear death because you know what? We're going to live forever. Somebody say live forever. Praise God. We are going to live forever. And that open door is going to be death in this life unless the rapture takes place before we get out of here. And so it's what we do in this earth as God's people to let our light shine and to stand strong in faith that makes the difference now. And I'm going to tell you something else. Psalm 91, if you read it all, let's just turn there. Somebody say, read the whole letter. Read the whole thing. All right, Psalm 91. We like to read all that dwelling in the secret place, cover me with his feathers, and I won't be afraid, and, you know, the pestilence and all this stuff, yada, yada. But, we, you know, very seldom does the person always read the end of the book. What does he say? Verse number 16, what does it say? With what? With long life. Somebody say, with long life. With long life. That scripture alone can rip hell to pieces. If you get the faith wrapped around that one right there and just begin to say to it, devil, you might be trying to kill me. My blood pressure might be high according to that instrument. You know, my sugar may have checked high because of what somebody read. The doctor may have given me a bad diagnosis or prognosis or, you know, whatever the deal is, devil. But I can tell you right now, this is what the book says. This is the law. Somebody say, this is what the law says. This is it right here. And this is based on an Exodus when God brought his people out. And he's telling me with long life, he's going to satisfy me and show me his salvation. Somebody say, with long life. Long life. I'm going to not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. See, I've got to hear that rather than what some joker saying on CNN, CBS, ABC or whatever. I've got to hear God. I've got to hear what he says. I've got to be able to look and listen. When somebody comes up with that bogus stuff that's a lie out of the pit of hell trying to put fear on me, I've got to go, ha, 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 ha. I'm going to say, well, I know that's a lie. This right here says God's going to let me live a long time. Amen. Say a long time. Amen. Though I walk through the deepest, darkest valley, Psalm 23, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff are with me. He prepares the table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Praise God. So he's telling me, you see, if you've got a good quality enemy in your life or good quality enemies in your life, then you're going to see some glory. Somebody say amen. You got to have enemies. You have to have enemies. I would never know I had faith unless I was put to the place that I had to use it. Amen. Faith is put on trial, and faith always wins. Somebody said, but the religious spirit can take it from you. Because, amen. Because it's one thing to have somebody to hold my hand and tell me how good I've been and you know that it's going to be all right. But when they leave and the light goes out and I'm in the darkness and it's just me laying on my bed, I got to have something in me that's going to cause the light to come on in here because of something that's down in here that's going to cause me to say, Father, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You know, that I'm going to rest. Somebody say, I'm going to rest. I'm going to rest. Amen. See, I believe the more we celebrate heaven, the more the devil is shut up. Because when he finds out that we don't care whether we die or not, he's going to go, that's my trump card. Huh? When he finds out that you're not afraid of death, you're not afraid to die? What else is he going to do? I'm going to make your big toe hurt. I'm going to give you a headache. I'm going to say, well, a headache, I ain't taking no headache. Somebody say, I'm not going to take it. Amen. All right. So Psalm 91 says, with what? Long life, long life. Somebody say, long life, long life, long life. Let's look at verse 15. What does it say? He shall call upon me and I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble. I will leave him in trouble. I will leave him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Well, how do you get honored? Man, when you walk through the fire and you come through that stuff, God comes along and pins a ribbon on you. Amen. All right, all hell, I want you to listen up. This is my son or my daughter. You attacked them and you came against them and they kicked your butt, devil. Now you're going to watch them get honored. See, it's like Naaman getting hung on his own gallows. Somebody say amen. All right, let's go back to the book of Joshua now, chapter number 1. Joshua chapter 1. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Shall not depart out of your mouth. Power of life and death is in the what? Tongue. Amen. What does he say? He said in Psalm 103, remember last week, he will satisfy thy mouth with good things. Somebody say good things. Good things. Oh, let's look at Isaiah chapter number 53. See, there's some good stuff in here if you just look for it. Verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? All right, let's just back up a little bit. Cursed is the man that maketh his arm flesh and trusteth in a man. Asa died because he sought not the Lord, because of his disease. Are you listening to me? Amen. Who should be our first physician? Somebody say, Dr. Jesus? Amen. Because these other PhDs have got post hole diggers digging a grave for you. All right, verse 2. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground and has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are what? We are healed. Go back to verse 1. What does it say? Who has believed? How many knows that believing, somebody say believing, I've got to have the right kind of believing. I'm not going to do anything to put my foot outside the circle of covenant. Because I know the moment that I venture outside of covenant, that I'm in trouble. I have just invited hell to come in. Because all he needs is just a speck of a place to get in. Amen. It's like mice that come in this time of year. My goodness, isn't it amazing what they can come through? Just, it's like, how did they get in? It doesn't take much. Amen? Doesn't take much. It's the little things that spoil the vine. Somebody say, yes, it is. All right. And so he says, who has believed our report? All right, let's go back to Joshua again. What does he say right here? He says that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. All right, so number one, he wants us to not just read it and just hear it. He wants us to believe it. Somebody say, believe it. Faith, adhere to it. Do it, okay? So it shall not depart out of thy mouth that you'll meditate therein day and night. Okay, that word meditate means to mutter it to yourself, speak it to yourself. Amen. That's what it means, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have a good success. Haven't I commanded thee? Be strong, be of a good courage, be not afraid, don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever that you go. And so it's important for me to have my guns loaded with Isaiah 53 and then come to the new covenant where Jesus says in Matthew 8:17 that tells me that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah in chapter number 53. That Jesus himself bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. 1 Peter, when we go there, he tells us that it's already done. Somebody say, already done. It's already done. See, that's what God did in Exodus. He already did it. Somebody say, it's already done. It wasn't just the blood of a lamb that they put on the lintels. That when they got in there and got under that covenant, they were covered when they came out of the house. The next day, all they had to do was obey what God said. God said, first of all, spend the night in there, eat that lamb. Somebody say, eat the lamb. Eat the lamb. Jesus is the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus is the Logos. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. If you shall observe and do it day and night. Say it to yourself day and night. Keep it in your heart. Keep it in the midst of your heart. That's why he tells you to say it over and over and over and over again. So in the morning when you get up, and you do confessions of the Word of God, and you're in your prayer time, you should always say, Father, I recognize who you are, and you can tell him anything you want to know about him right there. And you should always say, Father, I thank you that you have redeemed me by the blood of your Son Jesus. Redeem me from death, redeemed me from sickness and disease, redeem me from poverty. And man, if you just spent time in all three of those areas, you'd be prayed an hour and wouldn't even hardly know it. Because he covers everything right in there. That when we begin to speak the Word of God, and actually what we do is we begin to build a hedge around us. Amen. Because you can't separate the blood and the Word. I can't separate the blood from the Word. I can't separate the name from the blood and the Word. See, the blood has a name. The Word has a name. It's Yeshua. Somebody say the Son of God. It's living, it's breathing, it's there, it's divinely inspired. It's him speaking to me, it's his promise. And if I can't believe God, then I'm in trouble. That's why he says, don't get dismayed. There's a lot of people right now dismayed. Dismayment means just, oh, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? Well, number one, stay out of the obituaries. Amen. Well, how am I going to know somebody died? They'll contact you. And then if you don't get it any other way, somebody will let you know. It might be 2 months down the road. So I'm sorry to hear that. And listen, that's not making lightly, but what I'm telling you, quit dwelling in death. Start dwelling in life. My words are spirit. They are life. Yes. It's sad when people die, but I'm going to tell you what. Unless we get faith built, we have nothing to stand on and nothing to stand against death with. Amen? So death is a spirit. Is that right? Yes. Is life a spirit? Yes. God is the spirit of life. So the enemy is the spirit of death. Amen? And so we have to vocally speak to the devil, just like Jesus did when he came to him in the wilderness. And the enemy came when Jesus went as his lowest place of need, if we could say that. And he said, it is written. It is said. It is written. And see, that's what the enemy does not want to hear, because he does not expect man, flesh and blood, to answer this word. Amen? Praise God. And so when God is speaking to Joshua, and he said, you meditate in it day and night. You mutter it to yourself. You speak it to yourself. You think about it. You observe to do. You observe to do. You observe to do. So you want to find it, the promise, and you want to read it, and you want to read it out loud, and you want to be able to say it. Amen. So in order for me to become skillful in a thing, now understand what I'm going to tell you. People can tell you every ball player, tell you all the race car drivers, tell you all the golf players. They can tell you, everything that CNN and ABC and Fox and OAN and Newsmax and, you know, whatever. But listen, can you quote 10 healing scriptures? Can you quote 10 scriptures about the authority of God? Can you quote 5 scriptures on God's promise, inheritance? I want you to think now, because, you know, we're real good at being religious, because this thing is not religion. This thing is real. And see, we're coming down to the end times, and God is looking for skillful people, because he said, when you have a good success, he said, you will be skillful. And baby, if you're in a war, you want some skillful dudes on your side. I mean, you look at David's mighty men. Some of them could use their left hand just like their right. They were skillful in what they could do. Anybody climb down in a pit on a snowy day and slay a lion just for the fun of it is one bad dude. Somebody say amen. Say, I want that guy in my house, man. I said, I need him. He could be my armor bearer. Praise God. Amen. You want somebody that's not going to tuck tail and run in the midst of a battle. Praise God. You want somebody, man, that when you get attacked, that they're just like a machine gun. It's written, it's written, it's written, it's written. So that the devil will flee. All right. Now, I think it's in 1 Peter 5, 7, where he says, resist the devil, the devil shall flee from you. And then James talks about resisting the devil. That word resist is I think it's anhistemi in the Greek. And what the word is a powerful word, because it means violently oppose. Violently oppose. In times of war and you're fighting an enemy, you don't run to him and whisper. The enemy's going to say, what? Matter of fact, you're going to step in your house to hear what you're saying. I mean, if you are engaged in a battle and there are bombs going off and guns firing and the commotions that are going on, you have to shout to the person close to you to let them know what's going on, because war is noisy. Amen. So, man, if you're going to pray in this hour, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph, with the voice of praise. What's he telling you, man? You shout out to God and let him know that you need his power and might, and the angelic armies of heaven thundering forth will on their chariots of fire and everything else to come on your behalf and wipe out your enemies. Praise God. Amen. We need COVID wiped out. Amen. We need it wiped out. It's sad. You know, to hear any time, and I believe that the numbers are inflated. And I believe that, you know, because of, it's a shame that the love of money is so involved in the world in which we live, because, you know, hospitals make money on people dying, doctors make people on people dying, and everything else. And it's just, it's unreal, what we see. But I'm going to tell you what, I believe that the church, somebody say the church, that means us. I believe that we can pray. This is why corporate prayer is so powerful. He said, if any two or three of you, you know, when you get in that kind of agreement, that when you begin to pray, And see, when Peter was locked up in prison, the Bible said that the church prayed without ceasing, and God is the one that delivered. God sent that angel. You know, I believe when Paul and Silas were in prison and they sang praises to God at midnight, I believe the church was praying for them too. I really do. And when, you know, when we have that kind of prayer going on, there's great authority that's being released against the powers of darkness. And we can see those strongholds shattered and broken and pulled down. And so, you know, plagues is nothing but a spirit. It's the powers of hell at work. It's the gates of disease. It's the gates of sickness. It's the gate of the enemy prevailing in humanity. The gate of fear. You think about this. And Jesus said what? The gates of hell. The gates of hell. These gates shall not prevail against you as my people. And the only way that those gates are stopped and cannot prevail is because if you listen closely to what Jesus said, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever that you bind on earth shall be bound. Whatever that you loose on earth shall be bound. If any two of you shall agree. And he goes right over to a couple of chapters later and quotes that same thing about that agreement. Amen. And so that's a solid theme all the way through Scripture, that when the church gathers together in that kind of agreement, it breaks the powers of darkness. Amen. And listen, we're going to say, and I'm going to close this. Let's all stand together. Any church that is closed or doesn't have service, the first thing you should do is pray. Come against that demon. And my prayer is that any church that's closed, that God would so move that revival would break out. Amen. And so we need to cover each other in prayer, stand together, protect each other, plead the blood of Jesus over each other, and pray that faith would be stirred and come alive, that God's will will prevail in these matters. Amen. That we can see a move of the Spirit of the Lord God. Amen. And so God wants us to rest. Do you know that He's telling you that you can fight the battle and be in rest? That you can be in such a place in the Spirit that you're not worn out, that those demonic powers are the ones that are going to have, after you have bound them and take authority over them and cast them down and cast them out, they're the ones that are going to be tired walking through the dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Amen. I want the devil to be so tired. Somebody say amen. I want him to be wore out, not us. Not us. Amen. I want the spirit of might up on us. Praise God. Amen. Let's speak this word together. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you right now for health. We thank you, Jesus. You've already borne our sicknesses, carried our diseases. We thank you now. We choose to believe your report. We thank you, Lord. You've redeemed us by your blood from every sickness and from every disease. We thank you now that when it comes knocking at the door, I say you're not coming in. I take authority over you. I curse you from the root in the name of the Christ, the Anointed One, and I cast you into the dry places to be worn out in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you right now that you satisfy my mouth with good things. I will not let your word depart from my mouth. I'm going to speak what the word says, not what the news network says, not what a man says, not what people say. I don't care whether they like it or not. I will not let your word go out of my lips, Father God. I will keep it in my heart. I will speak what you said. In Jesus' name. And I thank you tonight that I'm protected by the blood of the Lamb. I thank you that I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. For I love not my life unto death. Thank you for the victory that faith brings. Thank you, Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. Thank you, Father, and praise you right now. Now give him a shout of praise. Voice of triumph. Voice of praise. Praise God. that we're healed by his stripes. Amen. Amen. Now, like I said, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have an opportunity to get sick, that you're not going to have an opportunity to be attacked, because the devil will try you and he will attack you. But how you answer and what you do. What do? Number one, plead the blood of Jesus by the time you leave the building, when you get in your car, when you touch your door handle going into your house, when you go into your house, before you go to bed, when you get up the next morning, plead the blood. Plead that blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. And draw that circle around yourself that's the covenant territory and say, devil, you're not coming in here. You're not coming through this. You cannot in Jesus' name. I forbid it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he lift his countenance to you. May he be gracious unto you. May he grant you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise God.